Well, you've had me in tears twice this morning, so just try to get through this message without some tears. But I just reveled in the beautiful playing, Warren, and in the message of the song. So let's see where we can go from there. Today's scriptures, Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 12. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. You know, you and I were living in a time when truth and morality are under attack. What once was right and upstanding is now called wrong. What once was considered shameful is now celebrated. The darkness is no longer hiding. It is boldly advancing into our schools, our courts, our government, our entertainment, and even into many churches. But you know, this is not just a simple cultural crisis, a social dilemma. It's a spiritual battle. This is spiritual warfare that engages us 24/7, 365. And in every moment, we're called to step forth and not shrink back. We're called to stand, to march, to rally forth and enter the fray, to wage warfare against an evil enemy. We're all deputized to be on patrol in recognizing Satan's destructive intentions and influences. And so, our first line of defense against the schemes of the devil is to stand firm in our faith, as Scripture says, to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Now, the first thing we need to know about our enemy is that he tends to use the same tactics over and over and over again. In fact, he has used those same weary old tricks and techniques since the Garden of Eden. And they've worked countless times against countless people. That's why he just keeps bringing them back time after time, generation after generation. Well, that's the bad news. The good news is that we have a battle plan for how to combat the tricks and wiles of the devil. Just as Apostle Paul confidently wrote in 2 Corinthians 2:11, Satan will not outsmart us, for we are familiar with his evil schemes. The devil's strategies are no mystery to people who study Scripture. And Jesus himself said, speaking of Satan, he was a murderer from the beginning. He was always one who hated the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. That's from John 8:44. The Bible describes Satan as a deceiver and an adversary. And because he is a master of disguise, deceit, and a skilled liar, we must always be on high alert. Now, one of his go-to moves is to catch you off guard with a temptation that exploits a vulnerable area of your life. He'll make the temptation as enticing as possible while downplaying its harmful potential. He'll whisper things like, trust me on this. Give in to your desires. Live a little. Quit thinking about the consequences. Who can it hurt? You can get away with it. So you take the bait and you give in to the temptation. And that's when the devil shouts, "What a hypocrite! Do you think God will ever forgive you for that? You think he'll hear your prayers after what you've done? Don't even bother showing your face in church. They'll all read you like a book." Well, sadly, many people fall for his routine. And then what happens? They allow their guilt and shame to separate them from God, from his word, and from his people, the very things they need the most. Just remember, no matter what you've done, no matter what temptation you've given into, no matter what sin you've committed, God is always ready to forgive you if you repent of your sin and return to him. He promised. Don't let the devil isolate you from God's word and God's people, because that's exactly what he's trying to do. Don't let the devil get the better of you. Let me tell you about the Screwtape Letters. This is a book that C.S. Lewis put into the format of letters from a senior devil to his inexperienced devil nephew. The nephew has the assignment to lead astray a Christian man and lead him away from the enemy. That would be God. Here's some of Uncle Screwtape's guidance for Wormwood, his nephew. "The safest road to hell is the gradual one, the gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts. Gradual." To me, that sounds a lot like a slippery slope. But you know, because we've been forewarned, we can be forearmed. We have the promise of Psalm 46, verse 1, that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So we know that in any unstable situation, God will protect us. Now, one of Satan's sly devices has always been to divert our minds from the help God offers us in our struggles. He lets us think that we have to fight the battle alone. God knows we need his help. And the Bible warns in 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." What would you do if you met a lion? You'd probably run like crazy. You'd probably look for anything you could use for a weapon to fend off any attack that might be coming. Huh? When evil and temptation stalk us, that's what we should do in our struggles. Our first response should be to flee, run like crazy. And our second should be to take any weapon within our grasp to fight off the attack. The good news is, God has provided the weapons. His word, his angels, his spirit, prayer, and the support and encouragement and prayers of our brothers and sisters in Christ. These are all the arsenal that God provides. As we see in our verse there in Ephesians, we're advised to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Satan, the devil, is the serpent of old who entered the Garden of Eden and subtly created doubt. Has God indeed said? Then he charged God with lying. "You will not surely die." And finally, he accused God of withholding good things from his creatures. "For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you too will be godlike." Oh yes, Satan is the father of lies. And And he has a 3-point agenda: to steal, kill, or destroy. He is the enemy. But as followers of Christ, we are part of the Lord's army. His power and omnipotence remind us, as Psalm 46:9, he makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. He wins. God has a long history of dominion over enemies of all kinds, so there's no one greater to lead us into battle. And remember, this is not a human battle, as it said, not a battle of flesh. It's a spiritual battle against principalities, against power, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're seeing that today. Satan is not only our greatest adversary, but he is in fact the adversary of God, with the eternal ambition of defiling the law, defaming the name of God, diluting the truth, and destroying the people of God. The battle rages on because the enemy is a very skilled liar. Every battle tactic he uses is built on a lie, but they're almost always believable ones. With every temptation he puts in our path, he says, look, Jesus really isn't the only way to get what you're looking for. There's something better. Look here. If we're to withstand his attacks, we must be grounded in God's word and surround ourselves with his truth and righteousness. We're advised in 1 John 4, verse 1, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. We need to recognize the devil's lies and call them out as counterfeit. Now, as a follower of Christ, we face a wicked enemy in the devil. Have you ever heard someone say, I don't have an enemy in the world? Well, maybe. But in fact, we all have a common human enemy, the devil. In Matthew 13:19, the devil is the wicked one. In Revelation 20, verse 8, the devil is the deceiver, gathering the nations to battle. And in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, the devil is the one who blindfolds the minds of people, trying to stop the light of the glorious gospel from illuminating them so that they might be saved. Going back to C.S. Lewis, he was an atheist for a long time before he came to faith. And yet he became a noted Christian apologist. He stated that only those who try to resist temptation know how strong it is and how hard it is to fight. Going on, he notes that temptation doesn't stop at conversion. It just shifts to discouragement, distraction, and complacency. It's a whole new battle. We need to be ever on guard against the subtle, insidious ways in which evil operates every single day in every person's life. Scripture warns us in 1 John 2, verse 18, Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They are coming. They are here. But we've studied the enemy's tradecraft in this spiritual battle. We have received intel about the enemy's strategic weakness in this war. And our armory has given us access to the supernatural artillery that is kryptonite to the enemy. It's revealed to us in James 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Our Heavenly Father empowers us as we walk in obedience to his word. He equips us with protection as we hold fast to his truth and righteousness. He enables us to call on the saints and angels for support and strength. All this is laid out for us in the verses that follow our scripture today. So we see in Ephesians 6, verses 13 to 18. Hear God's word. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having fastened on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes, the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit. Notice I didn't say prayer is a weapon that we just pull out in the heat of battle. We're told to pray at all times. Do you know why prayer is essential? Because when we call on the power of God in the name of Jesus, Satan hates that. That's why he'll do everything he can to disrupt your prayer life, to divert you from praying, and try to distort your prayers away from God's intended purpose. By holding tight to scripture and prayer, we can counter the lies that Satan may attempt to implant in our hearts and minds. That's what Jesus did. So we all do that too. When we arm ourselves with everything that God provides, we can stand strong against the attacks of the enemy, which means that you're wearing the armor, you can recognize the enemy, resist the enemy, repel assaults, and reject attacks. For we know that Satan seeks to bring about our defeat and destruction in both time and eternity. But you know, it's not God's will that we, his children, be defeated and devoured and destroyed. We need to understand that soul darkness is not from God and that oppression is not his way. When shadows afflict our spirits, we need to be aware of who it is that wants to keep us depressed and oppressed. Maybe you've experienced darkness this year. Maybe death of a loved one, a financial difficulty, your own illness, rebellion of a child or grandchild, physical, mental, or emotional challenges, or the erosion of an important relationship. Darkness. In the middle of the battle between the forces of darkness and the forces of light, it may seem like darkness is winning. And I'm sorry to say, that's because darkness is winning. For now. But it won't always be that way. A day will come when light will overcome the darkness. And do you know how I know? Because Jesus struggled through dark days. He faced social and political injustice. He endured suffering. He was tested and tried, and he had to overcome temptation. And what did he do in the darkness? He looked to the truth of Scripture. He poured his heart out to the Father in prayer. We read in 1 John 3:8 that the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. And boy, did he. Jesus overcame Satan and the world. So we as believers can claim victory in Jesus because he overcame sin and death for us. Our faith allows us to see beyond the immediate pressures and rally against threats that Satan presents. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. In 1 John 5, verse 4. When we come in faith, God supplies the armor, the allies, and the ability to triumph over the evil and darkness of spiritual warfare. His word tells us that we will never be tempted beyond what we can bear, and we always have access to the strength and support of God to deny temptation. As we recognize the power and persuasion of Satan in our lives, we rely on our faith and fellowship with the one true God to fortify our efforts to withstand the attacks. Because of God's protection, presence, and promise, we're never defenseless against the enemy's schemes. And we can be assured by the truth of Romans 16:20, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come in gratitude for your promise of abiding love, asking to be fully empowered to fight the spiritual forces of evil in this world. We know that the tempter seeks to defeat and destroy us because we seek to do your will. Help us to take up truth and the shield of faith, arming ourselves with the sword of spirit, standing strong and ready in the battle. As we come in persistent prayer, protect us against the insidious powers of this dark world. Guide us through tests and trials, and in every struggle, remind us that the battle is yours. We ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.